Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you. The decorations in here obviously are for Vacation Bible School. It's not just an aquatic theme, it is a submarine theme. So it's submerging deep into the waters. And so getting beneath the surface is the key to Vacation Bible School. And so God wants to get beneath the surface of your heart and my heart to help us to see what we need to see. And so the title of the message today is Look Below the Surface. Look Below the Surface. I'm going to attempt to do something a little bit different this morning because there's a person here this morning that knows very, very little bit of Spanish. And so I'm going to try to do a little quick summaries in the message so that I feel bad. I don't want anybody to be here and not know what the message is. I want to be able to minister that way. I wish I knew Tagalog and all these other languages as well, but I don't. Let me go on and just say that we're going to look at Jesus getting beneath the surface of people's hearts. When he was on the face of the earth, he was ridiculed by who? He was ridiculed by the religious leaders of the day. And in that, they misunderstood what he was doing. They misunderstood why he hung out with people that they wouldn't associate with. And we do that too. There are people that we may not choose to associate with because they don't fit our standards, or they might be offensive, or whatever that might be. And we have to be careful that we're not selective that way, because God sees the heart and knows where they are. As God sees people, it's different the way people see people. Does that make sense? We see people externally for the most part. Yet Scripture tells us that as a person is in the heart, that will come out eventually. So we get little glimpses of the heart, but God has a clear view of the heart. With that, we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 through 13. Entonces, en la introducción, es el ejemplo de Jesús, sabe los corazones de todo, cuando la gente no sabe las corazones. ¿Verdad? Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. So, 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint me, the one I name to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to these, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he is ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. By the way, ruddy is a redhead. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Entonces, cuando el Señor escoge el David para hacer un rey, es porque el Señor sabe el corazón de David, ¿verdad? Y entonces, él estaba un joven, pero no estaba importante, pero en los ojos de la gente, dice que no quiero él. pero el Señor dice que sí, este es el persona que quiere. So, as we look at this, it says only when we get a glimpse of people the way God sees them can we truly understand his love for others. And so only when we get a glimpse of people the way God sees, then can we truly understand his love for others. We need to ask God to open our eyes and our hearts to see people as God sees them, with a compassionate heart, a genuine heart, a loving heart, a caring heart. God wants us to care for people. Entonces, el Señor quiere nosotros tenemos cuidado para la gente. No importante que quién esos. Okay. So, because God sees the heart, as Jesse presented Eliab, Samuel was impressed by what he saw. Oops, I'm on the wrong page. I apologize. No, I'm not. There he is. Okay. So Samuel was impressed by what he saw and likely heard. Eliab was a handsome guy, built, and he wanted the new king to be this outstanding-looking guy. And that's Samuel. He's a prophet of the Lord. In 1 Samuel 16:6, it says Samuel was ready to choose Eliab as the next king because of what he physically saw. In verse 6, it says, "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.'" In 1 Samuel 16:7, God had explained that he was interested in what Samuel couldn't see, his heart. God's interested in your heart and my heart and people's hearts. And it doesn't matter what social background, it doesn't matter what status we are, it doesn't matter who we are or how we look. God is concerned for our heart, and he knows our heart. Dios está cuidando para los corazones de la gente. Este es más importante, no como ellos vivan, no está importante en la sociedad que ellos están. ¿Verdad? Okay. Entonces, so God is concerned about the heart. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says that God was interested in the heart. We said that. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." That should tell us something, too, that we need to make sure our hearts are in check with God. Because God knows our hearts. We can't hide anything from him. And it's so important that our hearts are kept right with God, especially being his children. God is not interested in what we do. He's interested in why we do it. Boy, that's important. We can do a lot of great things. We can do a lot of ministry. We can be involved in a lot of social work in the community. We can be looking like very good, upright citizens. But if our heart isn't right with God, if our motives aren't the right motives, God knows that. And God does not want us to have an impure heart, but a heart that's pleasing to him. In fact, God looks not only at people and their hearts, but he looks at churches and their heart. And that's important for us to understand. You've heard me say before that churches are like people. Each church has its own identity and personality, its own strengths and its own weaknesses. And God knows those things about each church. He knows the heart of the church. Entonces, el Señor sabe el corazón de la iglesia también. Y todos los iglesias son diferentes. ¿Verdad? En como ellos están. Okay? So, in Revelation 2, 1 through 5, it says the church in Ephesus was doing all the right things. Doing all the right things for the wrong reason. Verse 1 says, "The angel of the Lord of Ephesus write, 'These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands.'" Who is that? That's Jesus. He's in control. He is the light. He walks in the middle of the lampstands. Okay? Those are the lampstands are it's the character of the church, or sometimes the pastor of the church is referred to, or the body of the church and its light that it bears. But the light is only Christ through that lampstand. So in verse 2 it says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. When we have a first love, say someone is just loves their job, loves what they do, passionate about their job. If you were to get into a conversation with someone about their job that they love, they would engage in some real conversation with you. They would be sharing with you what they love and the details of it and all of that type of stuff. When you're, excuse me, when you find your boyfriend or your girlfriend or you're newly married, a lot of times that focuses on your spouse. In a way, that's your primary love. That's who you're excited to be with and talk to and enjoy and invest in and all those types of things. But that's the type of love that God wants us to have for him. That we're to have a love for God that is so passionate, that is so desirous to be to commune with him, to relate with him, to learn of him, to do things that are pleasing to him, all those types of things. But that's what God expects for us as his children and as the church. He expects us to love him above all people, all jobs, all circumstances, everything, that when we hear the name of Jesus, when we talk about his word, when we are involved in investing in his kingdom work, that is the joy that we have that's ultimate in life. And it's a governing factor for us in life. Everyone and everything else comes secondary to that. That's not an ideal picture. That's what God wants for you and I, to put him first this side of heaven. And what's the danger? The danger is that if we don't do that, our lives will not reflect the light of Christ that lives in us. If we don't do that as a church, the church will only be a program and does not reflect the true light that God wants the church to reveal. And so it's so important. It's not just a wishful list. It's not something that we should think, well, you know, that'd be nice. It's something that God commands us to be as his people, a people that are so in love with him that nothing else could emanate from us but that great love for Jesus. Because that's what people want to see. And they're going to watch our lives and they're going to identify with us on how we're following the Lord. And it'll affect others. Jeremiah 17:10 says, God says he tests the heart that gives motivation to our actions. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God tests our hearts. Do you think he tests to find out the answer for himself? No, he already knows our heart. He tests us so we can see the answer of our heart. And if the answer is not pleasing to God, then we have a responsibility to make it right. If the answer is pleasing to God, then we can grow in faith. And that's what God wants for us. So, nosotros estamos a la luz de Cristo. Por nosotros vivamos. Y también, en la iglesia, la vida de la iglesia es la luz de Cristo. Para siempre. Y si cuando nosotros tenemos una relación con Cristo que es más acerca de Él, nosotros tenemos la luz más profunda, ¿es correcto? Profunda, para la gloria de Dios. Y sin eso, su vida y la vida de la iglesia no tiene poder para la gloria de Dios. So, God sees his strength in our weaknesses. What does that mean? Paul learned that in seeing his weaknesses, that he could actually rejoice in the weakness because he could see God's power work through it. What do you and I do when we see our weaknesses? Satan takes those weaknesses and immediately tells us that we're unqualified. immediately puts us down. Immediately we start analyzing ourselves with a negative point of view that compresses us down as a people that will be locked into a position that says, God can't use me because fill in the blanks. But God teaches us in His Word differently. He says, look, I know your weaknesses. I know your hang-ups. I know who you are, and yet I still call you. I still want to use you. Because the reality is that every single person has sin, has struggles, has weaknesses. Not one person except for Jesus had a hang-up. You know what I mean? Everybody has their hang-up. Jesus didn't say it that way. And so when God sees our heart, He sees also our weaknesses. And then He says, look, I want to empower you. I want you to see my power work through your weakness. God will use our weakness to build our faith. Yeah. We're saying, look, I acknowledge before you, God, that I'm weak in this. Or I acknowledge to you, Lord, that I am struggling here. But when we call on the name of the Lord and we depend on the Lord, then our weakness is made strong. Is made strong. And God is glorified and our faith is increased. So I don't know how to say that in Spanish. I don't know how to say weakness. Huh? Debilidad. Okay. So cuando nosotros tenemos los debilidades, el Señor sabe eso, ¿verdad? Entonces, no es tan importante a Dios para él usar nosotros. Porque el poder es para nosotros, para dependamos en él. Y cuando nosotros dependamos en él, el poder de Dios trabaja por nosotros vidas. Para la gloria de Dios. Gloria a Dios for that. So, He sees our weaknesses, and yet He gives us strength. And so, Jesse dismissed David because he saw his weaknesses. Jesse, the father of David, Jesse had 7 sons. He only presented to Samuel 6. Why? Because those 6 he thought were worthy of the calling. Or whatever the need was that Samuel came to him for. But God knew that David, being a youth, was in the field. How many youth today are saying they can't be used by God? Because they're youth. But God can use the youth, and He does, for God. And so Jesse analyzed his son David as just being a little kid, basically, that takes care of a menial task of the sheep. But God wanted to anoint him. And so in verse 11 of 1 Samuel 16, it says, "And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And so Jesse made it a point that David was not worthy to come before Samuel. But God finds strength in our weaknesses. I think God would prefer us to see our weaknesses than for us to see our strengths. You know why? Because that's when He's most glorified. That's when He's most revealed. If we only saw our strengths and our capabilities, and we operated only in those realms, then we would begin to get a puffed up, arrogant attitude. But when we are humbled before God and we say, God, I can't do this, and God says, yes, you can, because I'll give you the ability to do it. And we realize that God actually can do that. And so we can praise God just for that, can't we? Absolutely praise God for that. In Isaiah 41:10, God says He provides the strength needed for His people. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. I love that last statement. Not only will He strengthen us, but He holds us with His righteous right hand. That's the hand of authority and power. And He holds us up to be the people that God wants us to be. cuando nosotros estamos dependamos en el Señor para estiramos en las cosas del Señor, cuando nosotros no está posible para nosotros tener el poder para hacerla. Cuando nosotros dependemos en el Señor toca su mano derecha y levanta nosotros en su mano con poder y dice que estoy acá para ti. Este es para la gloria de Dios, ¿verdad? And so in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says that Christ is made perfect in our weaknesses. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, I may be wrong in this assumption, but one of the first assumptions I had about our church when I came here over 15 years ago was that, and it wasn't so much of an assumption, I have to correct myself, when I ask God what he wants me to do here, because I always ask him each year, what's the assignment? And one of the things that he said for the first year assignment for our church was to help the church realize that even though you're small and even though you're remote, God can work powerfully through you. Amen. And we have seen God work in powerful ways in our church. And we can continue to see that, but it's that first love that's key. And we want to make sure, as I said before, that we are following the special assignments that he has for us, uniquely prepared for us. We don't want to be like the church in Ephesus that God can say, you've done all these great works, and they were great works. They were good. They were effective. But God said, look, you know what? I had other plans for you. I have other assignments for you that I will not give you unless your heart is first in love with me. And that's why it's important for us as a church to keep that first love for the Lord. And so God saw his son. And you say, well, how does that relate? Well, what are you talking about? We're talking about the hearts. We're talking about the heart of God and choosing the new king, David. We're talking about the heart of the church in Ephesus or other just churches in general. What is the heart of the church? We're talking about the fact that in our weaknesses that we can be strengthened. And God's focused on all of us individually that way. But God said, look, I see the weaknesses, I see the failures, I see the gravity of the sin and the wickedness of people and mankind. And then he says, but I see my son, my perfect son. And he saw a plan. Entonces, cuando el Señor ve el hijo de Jesse, David, él sabe su corazón. Cuando él ve la iglesia, el Señor sabe el corazón de la iglesia. Cuando nosotros tenemos las debilidades, el Señor sabe este, pero el poder de la derecha de su mano está allá para nos dependamos. Pero hoy, el Señor sabe que yo veo mi hijo, porque el hijo es la fuente de redención para el mundo, porque la gente tiene los corazones mal, pero por Dios tiene redención. And so, David, like all the champions God used before and after him, was far from sinless. You get that? David, like all the champions God used before and after him, was far from sinless. You see, the excuse that we're sinless and that we're weak and we're incapable and we're crunched down to feel like we can't be a vessel of God is a lie from hell. Absolutely. Because God will use us if our heart is seeking after him in spite of our weaknesses. In fact, because of our weaknesses, he will use those things to glorify him. And we can praise it. It's a whole different way of looking at those things. In 2 Samuel 12, it says, the prophet Nathan pointed out to David that he had sinned greatly. Remember what David did? He had a relationship with Bathsheba, another man's wife, and then he had the husband sent to be on front lines, and he had him killed. So he murdered her husband Uriah, and he had a relationship with his wife, and then they had a child. And Nathan, the prophet, goes up to him, points out his bony old finger at him, because he's an old man, right? And so he points at him, and he tells him that he had sinned. And David had asked for forgiveness and repented, and his sin was covered, appeased by God because of his repentance. Because later, only our sins could be taken away through the blood of Christ on the cross, which was done. And so David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Think about what Nathan has been instructed by the Lord to tell David. You have sinned so greatly, he says, the reaping of your sin is that I will not allow your newborn son to live. I will take him away. Wow. God means business. And he's serious about these things. And we need to understand that God expects holiness and purity of heart. And every day, we're to rely on God. Even though we're weak in accomplishing that, God is our strength to enable us to be holy. And so, por el Hijo de Dios, nosotros tenemos esperanza. Esperanza? Hope? Esperanza. For that. Y por él, nosotros tenemos perdonamos, right? Y hay consecuencias, ¿cómo se dice? Consecuencias. Consecuencias por nosotros pecados. Bastante que él tiene perdonamos a nosotros, hay consecuencias por nosotros pecados. Entonces, hace un corazón que es puro. Por el poder de Dios. And so God saw a future perfect son and king who would die so David's sin could be forgiven. See, God saw that for us. He saw all of our hearts, and as offensive as we are to God because of sin, he loved us enough to give us his son who knew no sin, right? In John 3:16, we know that. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's only through faith in Christ that we can have eternal life. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Can you imagine that? God's Son, Jesus, who essentially is God in the flesh, who knew no sin, was willing to allow himself to be made sin that we might be forgiven and know the righteousness of God in our life forever. Isn't that amazing? It's absolutely astronomical that God would do this. Para la gloria de Dios, el Dios hace su Hijo y echen él para hacer pecado por nosotros. Pero él no hace pecados antes. Pero él estaba echen por la mano del Padre en el cielo pecados por nosotros. Para nosotros tenemos santificación en el Señor. Gloria a Dios por eso. And so, we should be glad that God sees people differently than others. Because I think if we were God and saw the wickedness of the world, we might say, poof, right? But God didn't. He didn't do that. He sees through the eyes of his own grace. God's grace is immeasurable. We deserve so much, yet he gives us love. Because of his mercy, but because of grace, he empowers us and enables us to know him and to walk with him. And so he gives He looks at us through his own grace. And during Vacation Bible School this week, we're going to be teaching the kids and helping the kids to study about how Jesus demonstrated grace by sending his son in spite of who we are, in spite of our hearts being wicked and sin, but our hearts being made clean through faith in Jesus and giving us a hope that's eternal. And so we can glorify God for that. In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there's any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way." How many of us are willing to lay before God in prayer and say, "God, show me my sin"? That's what David did here. He says, "Show me my sin, because I want to know my sin, and then I want you to take that sin out of my life so I can be used for you. So I can be that vessel you want me to be, that you could lead me in an everlasting way, a life that affects eternity and not just here." Entonces está bien que el Dios ve nosotros diferente que los gentes. Con los ojos que es puro, con gracia, con esperanza, con una fe, para nosotros tenemos una vida que es por eterna, por siempre, para la gloria de Dios. Y David dice que, mira, yo quiero usted ver mi corazón, y dice que es los pecados para tocar de mi corazón, para mí hacer un vaso, para usted usa para siempre, para la gloria de Dios. Gloria a Dios for that. So may God search our heart and remove any offenses and lead us to him. May God search our heart, remove any offenses, and lead us to him. You know, I think that when we are at a place where we could go to God and say, "God, I want you to show me my sin." As scary as that is, God loves us, he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and he won't strike us down. As scary as that might be, because our egos are hurt, God will show us those sins. As he won't show them all to us all the time. You know what I mean? If he showed us all at once, we would have no hope. We would be scared to death. But he shows us those things. But what I'm getting to the point is this. If we are willing to expose our heart and soul to God, for God to examine, for the purpose of being made right with him, that reflects first love. That reflects a desire for God. That will glorify God. And that will ignite the light even that much greater in our lives and in our church for God. So praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I want to thank you, Father, for your grace. Father, more importantly, I want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. Whether I'm sharing your word or preaching your word in English or Spanish, Father, whether it's fluent and easygoing or not, you, dear Holy Spirit, will carry your word and the things that you want to be communicated to each of our hearts clearly. And I know that you've spoken to hearts here, not because I know what you've said or whom you're talking to, but I know that you love us, and I know that you know our hearts, and I know that you want that closer relationship with us. And I know, I can only expect that you have spoken to us this morning. And I ask, Father, please, that you will help us to have those hearts that are willing to be examined by you on a regular basis, that we'll keep our consciences clean, our hearts pure, that we'll walk in step with you, and that you would be glorified. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.